Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.
We're joined here today by Brittany Weinberger, author of Whispers in the Cradle. Brittany's an author that we met while we were out at CrimeCon. Brittany, thanks for talking to us today.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
I think our listeners are probably getting tired of hearing us talk about CrimeCon, but it was very eventful for us. Was this your first one?
It was my first one. I was very excited. I had heard about it. I don't think I really grasped how big it was until I got there. And yeah, it was huge and oh, so much fun.
That's a lot.
Brittany, you've wrote a book that just really piqued my curiosity at CrimeCon. It is called Whispers in the Cradle. I almost said Whispers in the Dark, but Whispers in the Cradle. I knew just kind of in passing knowledge that some nursery rhymes were a little bit on the sinister side, but you've researched everyone that I can think of and have given us a lot of information. So I guess what was your research process like for this book? It had to be a lot of time.
It was. So it started with Google. And then I went to Wikipedia, and I know you can't really trust a lot of what's on Wikipedia, but it gave me somewhere to start. So all of this kind of started because I heard a crazy claim that the Muffin Man was based off of a serial killer. And me being me, I called BS and had to look it up. And he was. And so that kind of spiraled. I ended up getting laid off from my career of over 10 years due to the market and had nothing but time on my hands, fighting with unemployment, looking for a new job, and decided to go back to my friend, the Muffin Man, and see how many were that dark, because I knew about Ring Around the Rosie. I knew London Bridge had to have something dark. It's about a bridge falling down. So I just got online and started Googling. And when I had a list, when I got about 10 deep, and it wasn't even like a deep dive, it was just seeing which ones actually had a dark origin. When I had 10, I was like, okay, you're having a lot of fun just finding these little tidbits of information. And you find it fascinating. Someone else is going to find it fascinating. So let's do it. Let's write a book. And I had never seen anything like this out there. So I knew I had something. So I went with it.
Yeah. Is this the first book you've written?
Yes. Writing a book was never in my cards. Mm-hmm. I am extremely dyslexic. So English and math are a dyslexic person's worst subjects. I think my saving grace is I'm a book dragon. I love to read. And I think that because I read so much, I just had that in me somewhere. And I just sat down and started looking into it. And then it was a lot of fine tuning, but I don't know, it all just came out. It was a little weird.
Yeah. Okay. No, I totally get that. And we met a lot of people who had done some creative, really cool stuff at CrimeCon, but this definitely piqued our interest. Like John said, I knew about Ring Around the Rosie, but that's about the plague, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's about the bubonic plague.
I knew about that one, but I didn't know about any of these others. You said you didn't believe it about the Muffin Man. So generally about the topic, were you surprised that so many of these were so dark?
Yes. I knew, like I said before, like I knew some of them were dark just by their titles. But the amount that I actually found to be so dark, I was floored. I couldn't believe it. And some of the titles that I had in there, some of the rhymes, I never would have guessed that they were dark in nature. I had a feeling Mary, Mary, quite contrary was, but Hickory Dickory Dock and Rockabye Baby.
Yeah.
those didn't really, I mean, when you think about Rock-A-Bye Baby, okay, that could be dark, but right. You think about rocking a baby to sleep. So is it really? And then, yeah, as I dove deeper into them, I was shocked by how many I found.
I'm looking at the table of contents and literally every nursery rhyme that I know is in here. And so that means that every nursery rhyme I know has a dark background. So
surprise! I guess,
so that's awesome. I can't wait to, I've read some, I want to read more, but does any of these stand out to you as like the most surprising?
Other than the Muffin Man, I think Mary, Mary, Quite Contrary and the Three Blind Mice. Just because I didn't know that those two were actually interconnected until I was doing my research. When I was doing my research and I had done Mary, Mary, Quite Contrary first, well, then I did a few other chapters and I got to the Three Blind Mice and I just kept looking at my notes going, didn't you just read this? Didn't you just look at this? So then I pulled them both together and I was trying to figure out a way to separate the two. Ended up having to combine them because they're literally the same story.
Well, tell us about that. What is the story behind those?
So Mary, Mary, Quite Contrary is about Mary the First. She was also known as Bloody Mary. So she came up to reign in an era that was Protestant and she was Catholic. And so she decided that she wanted to bring back Catholicism to England. Now, the problem was when she was younger, she was actually declared illegitimate by three bishops, the Three Blind Mice. Hmm. They were Protestant. Her dad had broken from the Catholic Church and lots of bad things happened. Well, when she came to reign, she decided she didn't want that anymore and she was angry. So she took it out on all of the Protestants under her rule, basically saying, if you don't change to Catholicism, you're going to be burned at the stake.
Dang, and that's one way to do it. With,
right. And she started with the bishops who actually annulled her parents' marriage, causing her to be illegitimate. And so she started with them and things just kind of snowballed. But I found it fascinating that the two interconnected and the things that she did, like she tortured people, the cockle shells and silver bells. The silver bells that are referenced are actually instruments of torture and death. And the cockle shells were medieval torture devices.
Yikes.
And then maids in a row were her garden, were all of the Protestant martyrs and victims that she ended up offing.
So do you care pretend like I'm 4 years old and just say that nursery rhyme to me? So, because I want to hear it through that context. Does that make
sense? Okay. Yeah.
And you don't have to do the whole thing. I don't know.
Because I recognize the titles of some of these and generally the melody, but I don't know if I could recite them all to you. But John's right. There are 40 chapters in here and every nursery rhyme I've ever heard is here. So. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad they're all there. So Mary, Mary, Quite Contrary. How does your garden grow with silver bells and cockle shells and pretty maids all in a row?
And then what were the maids? What do they symbolize?
The maids were the Protestant victims, the martyrs. So the priests, or the bishops that were killed during her reign. So that was her garden.
That is so crazy when you know that. And like, that's something from my childhood that I don't know that my mom actually told me nursery rhymes, but at some point I've heard these and I definitely want people to read your book. So I'm not going to say, we're not going to go through every one of them and give us, but I mean, just Humpty Dumpty's in there. Jack and Jill. Mm-hmm. I mean, all your classic nursery rhymes that every kid knew back in the day. I guess I'm glad I didn't tell my children nursery rhymes.
Right. So that's my next question. When people were writing these, were they intended to be songs for children that reflected what was happening at the time? I mean, they're all different authors. I'm sure they didn't get together and say, hey, let's write a bunch of dark crap where kids in a couple centuries, they'll forget all about it.
No, actually, I believe that it was their way of telling a story. So back in the day, you know, they didn't, if you weren't someone in power, you didn't have a voice. So some of these rhymes were their way of keeping their side of the story alive. A lot of them were warnings because, you know, again, they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have all of these things. And the only way to get the information to other people was to create some sort of a story, and rhymes were easy. Ring Around the Rosie is a great example. So it's considered a funeral dirge. And it was basically their way of warning other towns of everything that was happening and all of the towns that disappeared because the plague just wiped them out. The people were gone. So it was their way of reminding people of what happened, the towns that were devastated and decimated, and to warn future generations of this horrible thing that nobody really could write it down or put it anywhere.
This may be a question that you may not have an answer to. I'm just curious, like, do all of these or do most of these share a similarity in time when they were written? Does that question make sense? Like, were these all written around the same time frame, or are we spanning centuries with all of these?
We're probably spanning hundreds of years. So some of them are definitely, I did put them in chronological order. At first I didn't. And then when I sent it to the editor to review it, they came back and said that it would flow much better if I put them in chronological order. So they do all happen chronologically, but they do span out. Like I think the early ones are like the 1500s and the later ones are the 1700s. So it does span quite the time frame.
And then a follow-up to that question, these are so, the way that those stories are told is pretty incredible. I wonder why that stopped. Like, why are we not making new nursery rhymes to share? Because it's a pretty unique way to tell a history without telling in all of its dirty details.
Yeah.
That's true. I have found that we still create rhymes. I'm actually working on book number two.
Okay.
And it's American nursery rhymes and the hand clap games. So I don't know if you're familiar with them, but me growing up, my younger sister and I, we used to do hand clap games all the time, like Miss Mary Mac and Miss Susie and those types of things. And I actually found that a lot of those have dark origins. So, they're not as prevalent now as we get into like the 2000s, but in the 1900s, we were still creating new rhymes and songs and hand games to just to be kids. I don't even think, right, like when I sing these rhymes, I do it as a kid. I think they're just fun little rhymes. You spin around in a circle, you all fall down and you start to laugh.
Right.
And then when you actually look into it, you're like, oh, no.
Like most of the world died and we're falling down and laughing about it.
I remember, right? the Miss Mary Mac.
Mac, all dressed in black. And then I'm done. But
something about meeting curtains? A man. I don't know.
Yeah.
So wild. Like from what era does that story originate? Because, yeah,
not
like
to spoil
in the
your
1990s,
next book,
yeah. I remember my girl friends playing that game and saying that rhyme.
I don't remember because I haven't quite done the deep dive into it yet, but I want to say it was the 60s or 70s.
Oh, so
it's a lot more modern than I would have thought. Fairly recent.
Yeah. Because when you say America, I think, I mean, obviously 1776 to present. So I assumed that they were older. And just thinking of the future, like, are there going to be COVID nursery rhymes? Are they going to, like.
And I would say no, because kids are on their phones, not playing with each other and telling fun stories. But
that's perhaps, true.
Maybe there'll be TikTok stories at that point. I don't know.
Yikes. I don't love that.
So are there any, in your research, are there any dark nursery rhyme stories that you uncovered that perhaps didn't make it to the book?
No. When I went through all of them, I made a list, and that list is what I decided I was going to do. And when I got to 40, I think it was 40. I decided that was probably enough.
Yeah.
And I started doing the research, and when I sent it into the editor, she said, you know, I think you should cut this one out because it doesn't really have a dark origin. It's more of a read between the lines type of a story. And I pulled it out. And it was Hush Little Baby. I pulled it out and I was going through my final edits, and I couldn't do it because when I went through it and I reread it several times, and I just felt that while it didn't have an actual true crime story, it was still very dark in nature because it did touch on, you know, the relationship between parents and children, but kind of the neglectful side of things. You know, yeah, I'm going to give you all these things, but I want you to be quiet and I want you to go away. And I felt like that still deserved a place in the book. So I actually added it as a bonus chapter because while it wasn't true crime in nature, it was still, it belonged. So no, none of them got cut.
I'm going to ask that question, but flip it. Were there any that you found that maybe had a happy origin, or are they all dark?
They are all dark.
Okay. I was hoping maybe that you had to leave some origins out because they were happy and not creepy, but nope. Okay.
Nope. Sorry. Got to burst your bubble. They're all dark.
That is just insane to me that has continued prevalently. And not only that, not only do we not talk about it, like most people, like nobody knows this stuff until you started. And I mean, until they read a book about it. And that, like you said, I've not seen anything like this out there before.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Jamie.
No, go ahead.
I wonder if America has more stories that are also regional. You know, like, does Appalachia have some stories that were predominantly shared in this region? But man, even in the 90s, things spread so fast without the internet or, you know, anything like that. So I would be interested to know, like, are there only stories regionally?
That's a good point. Interesting.
I'll have to check that out.
I'm super interested when your second book comes out with the American one. So please let us know when that one comes out. And I told Jamie, I don't know if you'd ever be interested. I would love if maybe once every month or once every other month, we could just have you on for like a small segment of a nursery rhyme with Brittany, where you give us one and a little background. I would love that. But at the same time, we want people to buy your book.
Yeah, maybe just do
that
a few,
awesome.
Just tease it.
Maybe I could find some that, you know, aren't going to be in the book.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. We talked about the plague being obviously a famous event in world history and leading mm-hmm. to these. Were there any others that are tied to events that most people may know about, like maybe the London Bridge? And I know some about the Queen being kind of evil, but that's more of a, that spawns so many stories, but yeah, sorry.
I actually found that a lot of them do, well, it's hard to say, you know, are they famous because they're so far removed from the times now that I feel like it's a different kind of fame. famous, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I did find that a lot of them definitely, we all know about them because of history and all of those things. But there are a few that once I researched them, I was like, huh, I didn't know that. Like the Muffin Man, mm-hmm. he was actually a famous serial killer known as the Drury Lane Dicer in London. Okay. So hearing that, I was like, well, that kind of makes him famous for all the wrong reasons.
Right.
But yes, you know, they've got the Protestant Reformation is in Goosey Goosey Gander. And then pirates. Who doesn't like pirates?
Right.
I actually have, there are two nursery rhymes that are all about pirates. And so, you know, I feel like they're famous, but they're in a different context famous, if that makes sense.
No, that totally makes sense. And those are the kind of things actually I was hoping you would talk about. So we need to add the Muffin Man to the list of our upcoming episodes, I guess, since that's based on a real killer. We can get the information about him. If readers were to take something, if you were to hand this book like you did to us, very grateful. Thank you for that. She signed it. It's wonderful. Be jealous. What do you hope we get from it? Like, what do you hope your readers take away from? Wow, this is very new information that I don't know if I want it or not. I'm just kidding.
I kind of want them. I want the creepiness factor, of course. It's a creepy book, you know. I like that, but I want the shock factor. The I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
You know, every time you read a chapter, you do the wait, what? That's really what I hope people get from it. I hope people enjoy it, and maybe they learn something that they didn't know before that just kind of sparks their curiosity because it's fascinating.
Yeah.
I find it very interesting and fun, and yeah, that's what I hope people get from it.
I was looking through the list, and of course, all the ones I know are in there. The one that I kind of don't want to read because I don't want the dark story behind it for me is this little piggy.
I know that one was surprising. I thought it was just cute.
That's the most fun one.
It does go. I mean, in the rhyme itself, you know, something happens, but there's more to it.
We question mark. Home. Yeah, I don't know. It's where you play with your kids' toes and stuff while you sing.
Yeah, teach them about slaughter.
Mm-hmm. How the literal bacon's made.
Sorry, burst that bubble. That one's really dark.
So were there any for you that you were like, no, not this one? Or maybe the story was just so bad. You're like, God, what are we doing? And John, are there any more on the list that you see that was the worst one for me?
I mean, Hot Cross Buns is one I never would have. I mean, that's just like a fun song. I remember like playing on, what is it? That little recorder in middle school. Mm-hmm. Hot Cross Buns. Yeah. Crazy.
Good job.
Lady Bird. Yeah. Hush Little Baby. The Three Little Pigs.
Little Muppet.
I don't want to even know. Jack Be Nimble. Old Mother Hubbard. I mean, like every single one of the ones I know are in here.
So Brittany, were there any for you that you're like, no, don't ruin this one? Or once you got into it, were you just craving like, yes, let's get after it and make it more shocking?
I think I was craving it at that point. I do have to say Little Miss Muffet, I knew it was going to be dark. It was more psychological dark mm-hmm. than like bad dark.
Yeah.
evil dark. But it talked about creepy crawlies and I don't like creepy crawlies. So that one was probably the one I wasn't looking forward to the most just because I knew it had to do with spiders and I'm an arachnophobic. So
Yeah,
that one was not a fun one for me.
Where can people find your book?
I wanted them to be dark and I.
No, I totally get that. And I love everything. I love the font of the book kind of strikes the right chord. The cover has a muffin on it, which really freaks me out now. All I can think about are the scenes in Shrek where they're torturing the gingerbread man and not the muffin man. Like that's
not gumdrop button.
I can't get that out of my head. So where can people find your book? We were lucky enough just to run into you and we're very grateful that you gave us a copy, but where can they buy it?
So I'm actually all over the place. I'm on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Google Books, Ingram Spark. You can ask your library to order it if you want to. Walmart. I did just get a little yay moment today. I'm at Target now.
All right.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you type in Whispers in the Cradle into Google, unless it's changed recently, the entire first page is where you can buy my book.
Love that.
Awesome.
That's how algorithms are supposed to work.
It's a super fun read. And I will say it's a super, it's not like overly heavy. So I don't know, when you give a description of the story, it's an easy read. So each story mm-hmm. is just so much fun and kind of quick. Yeah, it's fun. And I read the Three Little Piggies not the Three Little Piggies, but the, This Little Piggy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought maybe the worst one, I thought maybe there was only one bad one. No, they're all connected. So
all the piggies,
I can't tell you more. Okay, I don't read the book.
I'm not going to read that one. I'll read the other 39.
It's worse than I thought. I will say that.
And yeah, just completely applaud how thorough, like this is not a, we're not talking about a pamphlet about nursery rhymes here. This is almost 300 page book and it's super thorough and cannot recommend it highly enough. I encourage all of our listeners to go and look for it. We'll put some links in the show notes for this interview as well.
I loved, Brittany, thank you. I loved that you signed our book and it was just kind of cute. It said, welcome to the dark side. We have muffins. So anywhere there's muffins, I want to be. Very even ominous. If there's creepy stories too.
I had to come up with a fun tagline.
I love it. All right. Brittany, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
You've listened to True Crime Cast, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Check out Stoveleg.com to find out more about your hosts and to find other podcasts to listen to. Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.